Hey everybody, welcome to Myopia Movies. This week, we are dusting off some old episodes. For those of you who follow our Facebook group, which you should if you don't, we are ending our Patreon, and it's due mostly to time. We appreciate everyone who contributed, but unfortunately it's just not attainable anymore. However, that allows us to dust off some old movies that have been behind the vault wall for the first time ever. And in honor of a very, very mediocre end of the trilogy, we are dusting off our Jurassic World episode, which was recorded when Jurassic World first came out, which puts it very early in our second season. So please enjoy this old-style episode, which is a bit of chaos, but a lot of fun. Thanks, guys, and keep reviewing, keep rating, keep listening, and keep sharing. Thanks, guys.
For those of you who missed the memo, we went and watched Jurassic World. Since none of us had seen it before, I'm going to just play the trailer for you.
I'm really proud of you for going on this trip.
You're going to have so much fun. And remember, if something chases you,
we have learned more in the past decade from genetics than a century of digging up bones. A whole new frontier has opened up. We have our first genetically modified hybrid.
You just went and made a new dinosaur?
Probably not a good idea.
Almost 40 feet high. Really think she climbed out?
Depends.
On what?
What kind of dinosaur they cooked up in that lab?
Evacuate the island. She's a highly intelligent animal. She will kill anything that moves.
Oh, God.
Man, that trailer had almost no plot or dialogue. That's awesome. It must have been the greatest movie. Let's watch.
Haven't been listening to the Revcast? Here's what you're missing.
These sharks have an economy based on gold.
Apparently,
you have a shark like decked out like Mr. T with the bling all over.
Oh, now I want to see that. I want somebody to draw a picture of a shark with a mohawk. I'm kidding.
I'm done.
The Revcast by RevolutionSF.com, available at RevolutionSF.com, iTunes, and part of the ESO Network.
Thank you.
Welcome to My Be Defender Childhood. You're tuning in to our first new release. Hooray! Did we watch Jurassic World, the first movie that made Turok Dinosaur Hunter look like a cogent plot device? I'm Nick Hoffman, editor and dude letter. We have no defendant except for Chris Pratt, who has to answer for this movie. And he looked so good doing it.
Yes, he did.
He was poured into that leather vest. By this point, you should have heard me splice in the trailer. If you didn't, how did you get to 5 minutes in without splicing in and listening to the trailer? But we do have a bunch of people on panel. So tonight on panel are...
Matthew W. Quinn.
And...
Hello, this is Daniel.
And...
Darth Jader.
And...
Jeremy.
And...
Madison.
Moving on.
Matt.
Hey.
Abby.
Another blonde girl.
Kelly.
And our fiery redhead. So I hope y'all like this movie because, man, it already made more money than I could ever afford. Please, can I borrow $500 million? However, we do still have someone to ruin the fun. So Daniel, can you give us a plot summary?
I would be more than happy to.
Thank you, sir. Yeah.
Okay, so this time around, Jurassic Park is now named Jurassic World, and it is a fully functioning amusement park where kids can ride the dinosaurs and feed them and go into gyrospheres where they're taught by Jimmy Fallon how to use the equipment. Two kids, and I completely forget their names.
Zach and Gray.
Can I just call them Newt and Horny?
No.
Bait and bait.
Sure, why not?
Dinner and dessert.
They're nephews of one of the executives that run the park, and they go to get a once-in-a-lifetime tour with this executive aunt, but she's so career-driven that she doesn't pay attention to them. She doesn't pay attention to them because they've bred a new dinosaur, but the dinosaur that they've bred tricks everyone and gets loose in the park, so they have to contain the dinosaur while at the same time trying to rescue these children and everyone else in the park.
Beautiful. I keep wanting to say when the dinos escaped, but I can't remember what that's a reference to, so I'm going to give up now.
Everybody walk the dinosaur.
I'm sorry.
That was not Darth Jader doing that.
No.
It was not. Nice.
Oh. It was totally Darth Jader, I admit it.
So, other than... Well, we got to talk about something. We all just got right off this movie. Literally, this is a new release. It will come out. This episode comes out 3 days after we watched, or no, 4 days after we watched it, 5 days after we watched it. We were charged about it. However, some of us didn't like this, so I want to hear from them in a second. The one thing we do need to talk about, I think, is Chris Pratt. Mm-hmm. The reason I want to start with Chris Pratt is he was the one who was on all the trailers. He doesn't show up for about half an hour into the movie. And they still haven't gotten the repeat of Muldoon, who I think is one of the best characters in modern movies. They want him to be Muldoon, but then they give him too much to do, and I think that's a problem. What do you guys think of Chris Pratt in this movie?
He's beautiful. So sexy.
I want to fuck that dinosaur. Wait, Chris Pratt, yeah.
Why do we always talk about this when it comes to dinosaurs and you, Nicholas?
Damn it, that was the last episode!
You have to rein it in. For a serious opinion on Chris Pratt, other than his dreamy factor, which is so, so evident, what I have a question about, despite loving this movie, is he's an ex-Marine, yes?
No.
Navy? Okay, I'm so sorry. Navy. So that makes him qualified for animal control. How?
Thank you.
Because they didn't specify that he was any sort of trainer or leader in the Navy. Maybe. They just said he's ex-Navy.
I would love to see him doing the same thing with dolphins. Just like waving his hands.
No.
He was training seals.
No. Here's my thought process. He dealt with sharks with laser beams on their heads.
Oh, God.
Better movie. Prequel, guys.
Don't they give you degrees in the Navy, like the Army? Doesn't that a thing? They give you education. That's why people join.
Well, okay, so here, let's...
Yeah, the GI, GI Bill would apply to all branches of service, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
I would love to see him in, like, a tie and that same vest and being like, yes, I have a master's in dinosaur training.
Let's back up. So the military gives you an MOS, which is whatever your specialty is going to be. They train you in that, but there's also the GI Bill, which is what I think you're referring to, and all branches have that.
All right. For those of you, I'm just off the bat, sorry to interrupt.
If you have gotten this far, I probably said this in the intro. Nick, note to self, make this in the intro. We're going to spoil the hell out of this movie. Now, as Daniel mentioned earlier, there's not really a plot. So there's not a lot to spoil, but see this movie first. It's out. Since we usually do movies that are 10 to 20 years old, it's not a big deal, but now see this. Go on. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that was all I had to say. I just wanted to specify.
What about specify. An actual introduction of all people on the table?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes. Also, I disagree about your lack of plot.
Okay, I just figured I'd bring it up.
No. We'll splice it in later. Go ahead.
I disagree about your lack of plot. There was totally a plot. There's the watch the commercials, go to the theater, there's no Chris Pratt, watch the movie, finally there's Chris Pratt. Keep watching. He's beautiful. He's amazing. He's the best character. And did anyone else notice? Thank you. He has a southern accent. So amazing.
Let's do all the women on panel. Do all the women on panel just need to be speaking from private booths or something?
There's nothing private about this.
Handshake.
You're blushing.
As a woman on panel.
I had to pull one hand up. Sorry.
As a woman on panel, I can say that while Chris Pratt is attractive, he's a handsome man.
He's a beautiful man.
The fact that he has this respect with the Velociraptors is very attractive as well.
Yes.
Because it makes him the alpha. Like, I don't know, I like dominant men. Says a lot about me, I guess.
As a side note, that's how he got. When he said that he's the alpha, there was a kind of shudder throughout the audience.
Yeah. He never actually
heard
said
a squeal.
It.
No, he does.
That was me.
He does say it.
They asked. They said, well, who's the alpha?
And he says,
you're looking at him. So he never actually said he was the alpha, which makes it so much sexier.
That's true. Okay, I see what you're saying. Yes,
yeah,
he does.
Yeah.
To that effect, logical question here. Another thing about his training abilities. Well, not even his training abilities. If we're going to go the extra mile and train the raptors and try to contain them and prevent the problems that we've had with them in the parks before that everyone knows about, especially Henry Wu, who's been around since the beginning and keeps making crazier stuff to kill people. Side note, why don't any of the other animals have handlers except for the baby dinosaurs in the petting zoo? Forget the T-Rex, because we've basically figured out how to contain it, essentially. The only reason why the T-Rex even gets out is for the epic ending fight, which was great, but they genetically spliced a new dinosaur, and it was classified that it was T-Rex and something else, but it potentially, it's Raptor, ladies and gentlemen, spoiler alert, it's T-Rex and Raptor, so it's going to potentially have this kind of intelligence. It can get past thermal sensors, it can assess, it's so smart. Why wouldn't they even attempt to have a handler for that animal too, since the raptors obviously need it?
They only had one clicker on the island.
The fact that it was a raptor was classified. No one but Wu and Super Engine guy.
Plus, wasn't that why Owen was there anyway? Was to try. Why they brought him to the pen was to help train it?
Did no one else care about the fact that the raptors, these highly intelligent, very active creatures, were in the smallest containment ever?
With a pig? Yeah.
It's bigger than the pen in the original movie.
It is big, but there was only really like... how many were there in the original movie? Were there three?
Three or four, yeah.
Okay, well, it just seemed like if you're going to have him running around after a pig, maybe you should have a bigger pen.
Yeah, there were some problems.
Okay, so I just need to bring this up. Everyone is... the raptors are basically dogs. I mean, that's essentially what they are. There are dogs in this movie, except when they are hunting and killing things, and then they're raptors, and then they go back to being dogs. I mean, that was
wild
kind
dogs.
Of bothersome.
I would love one to come
wild
up
dogs.
And lick them in
they,
the face.
They weren't wild dogs, though. They was like, oh, there's some aggressive nature to these. They have angry-looking eyes, and they look like they're going to eat you, but they're basically dogs.
Yeah.
Wild dogs.
And in the first few movies, they were like scary creatures, and now they're like friendly dogs.
Well, they did make a point of saying that every dinosaur, so to call them, has been sliced and genetically engineered, that they're not the same anymore.
But it's the same raptors from the first three movies.
Talk into the microphone.
I'm sorry about that. Same raptors from the first three movies. I mean, they're just totally different animals. I guess they're trained. But...
You assume, but they're new raptors. It's 20 years later. They've still been genetically engineered. I mean, they're not... Obviously, they're not going to be the same three, four raptors from before.
Okay, so...
Yeah, because those are all dead.
A couple things we should talk about here that are problems with the movie. I like the movie, but there's something here that bothers me. This is what we would call a rail shooter movie.
Is this where I get to come in and spoil the fun?
Well, no. I mean,
really, because I liked this going in, and now I'm not sure that I like it anymore. So you guys have ruined everything.
Fun is the right way to put this. This is a silly movie. I don't think it's going to last as well as some of. But it's fun. Like, that's all this movie is. It's fun. It's a spectacle. No,
of the two sequels before this one, this is definitely the best Jurassic Park sequel.
Oh, yeah.
By far.
As we were walking out of the theater, someone in front of us said, was asking his friend what he thought, how he thought it compared to the first three movies. And the guy was immediately just like, it was so much better than the third one. And we were like, yep.
Womp.
Yeah. And then Abby immediately gave them the bumper sticker, which we will have invented in the past by the future.
Yay.
I thought
did. That's a new verb
that
tense.
Almost got very sexy.
It did a good job of being a sequel to Jurassic Park.
Well, I mean, but again, like the dinosaur characters are not developed, and I know that sounds stupid because they're creatures. But like, for example, you mentioned earlier they were riding little baby triceratopses. It would have been great if one of the other triceratopses out in the field came in and tried to rescue the babies when, because at a certain point there's chaos. All the animals get out again. But no one gets free. Yeah.
But are they babies?
In answer to the fact that they are babies, they're definitely babies. But that's where the whole training, the whole mother relationship with any babies cannot happen, because the whole thing about domesticating any animal, dogs being the best example, like what Matt was saying, I've got this huge dog and everybody's got a dog in their house that has been bred over thousands and thousands of years to socialize, and it's socialized with people, and its parents and grandparents and so on have done the same thing. The problem with the dinosaurs is that they are being made from scratch every single time. So they're starting fresh, and they have no reason to trust anything unless they start at the beginning with somebody to imprint on, like Chris Pratt said. He said there's a trust relationship. I'm there when they're born. And that's the important thing. It's a relationship. They need to socialize.
Well, and off of what you're saying with babies needing to be socialized, I don't necessarily know that the smaller animals were babies. Because later on in the movie, you hear them talking about Rex, the new one. And that they could make it on a smaller scale so that it could actually be a weapon. So what they may have done with these other dinosaurs is made them on a smaller scale so that they are adult and they know what they're interacting with and they're okay around these children. And none of them are carnivores. So you don't have to worry about them being around kids anyway. So I think they've taken this entire park to a whole new level, which is what makes it so terrifying and what makes what they're doing so crazy, because you don't know what's in it. I mean, they mentioned there's like cuttlefish, a fucking tree frog, like... Who puts that in a dinosaur?
Well, the frogs.
Why?
Frog DNA is from the first movie. They're using it to fill in gaps.
But I want to say what Kelly's saying is spot on, and it's one of the problems I have with the movie. They don't explain a lot of stuff. Like, in a movie like this, you want to set up a game. And something they do in the first Jurassic Park very well, there's no game set up here. Like, you don't know why some dinosaurs act some ways and some don't. We don't know if these are modified raptors or if they're, like you said, are these just... Because, like, in the book Jurassic Park and in Lost World even, they make an effort to say... This is like version 3 of the Raptors. This is version, like, we don't know really anything about this. We don't even know that much about Chris Pratt. I would No, we don't. Like, he could have had a dark past. There could be a reason why he's here and he's now ex-military and has no power. There could be something about him that we just never get. The problem is, frankly, the other movies do a good job of saying this is the T-Rex world, this is the Apatosaur world. And then all of a sudden we have this giant dinosaur who's the Rock Rex or whatever his name is.
Indominus.
It's called the Murderosaurus.
The Rock Rex.
But I love...
Her proper name is...
Well, this opened up opposite San Andreas, and the Rock couldn't stop a earthquake, so, you know.
No, but her proper name was Indominus Rex, which is even incorrect in and of itself, because that means indomitable king in Latin, and she's a lady.
Ladies.
Who ate her sibling.
I'm just so...
Like a lady.
I'm just so happy that they finally gave the flying dinosaurs a good scene. They were always my favorite as a kid, and finally they were terrifying. Oh, and man. We have to talk about the SeaWorld scene.
We do. What was up with the one pterosaur that had the T-Rex head?
It wasn't just one.
That's a species.
It's a Ramphorhynchus, I think, is attached to the term.
I love it.
Oh. They've got kind of square heads and big teeth.
Matt, so I might worship you for knowing that.
So
that's
I'm
so
the
crazy.
Idiot here, then. Okay.
Yeah, that's, you're welcome, yeah. Daniel.
You're having
yeah.
a dual boner
burn.
But honestly, to your point, Abby, the best point about the pterosaur scene was when you look to the left of the super Disneyland-themed
yes.
park that they
Step
had.
Step off my margaritas!
Yes. yes.
That was there, my favorite thing about this. Go
there
on.
Was an IMAX to the left when all the pterodactyls and the... I'm sorry, Matt, what was the animal? The other flying animal?
I think the Ramphrincus. Ram? And then there are pteranodons, the one
okay,
of the crests.
But in the IMAX theater in the downtown part of the park, it said... 3D IMAX experience pterosaurs while people are being lifted into the air and punctured by these animals. It was so great.
Well, and if you will, like, that part totally works because, like, what Darth was saying a second ago, man, like, my favorite part of the movie, which builds and builds and builds, every time they cut back to this little village area, it looks more and more like a downtown Disney, or looks like MGM.
Yep.
It looks like Hollywood Studios if you've been to Disney in Orlando recently, or Universal Main Stage, right? That kind of entry where you have stores on both sides. And it's awesome because it gets more and more gruesome, which as a historian I love because it's really fucked up. Disney's weird.
Right, but even that scene... It didn't work for me because after like 2 minutes, I realized I'm just rewatching Hitchcock's The Birds.
No, it doesn't.
Good scene,
it was though. Different. It was different because seriously, no drink left behind. No drink left behind. Did anyone else notice that?
I love that guy.
That was Jimmy Buffett.
That was Jimmy Buffett.
That
was Jimmy Buffett.
Really, Jimmy Buffett.
I don't know. That's
Jiminy
what they told
Buffett.
Me.
Yeah, because Margaritaville was one of the stores.
He went uncredited because of how epic that moment was.
So, unfortunately, that cheeseburger was left in paradise.
So it was a pterosaur that stole his lost shaker of salt.
No.
Too soon.
I'm here all week.
I feel like we need to splice in the Margaritaville song.
Yeah, make a note of this.
Wasted
future Nick.
Away in Margaritaville.
I don't have enough money. He sues cover bands, guys.
That's not fair use, bitch.
I wish that was a joke.
Anyway.
But yeah, no, we should talk about some of these kids. We have Mullet Mike and Bieber, I guess.
The kids could have been completely...
Zach and Gray. Okay. Zach and Gray.
And they're going through a divorce. It's a terrible time.
Because
the divorce storyline.
Zach doesn't know it.
That has no purpose in the movie at all.
Neither does making out in the middle of the fucking flying
bird
sequence.
Wait, did the kids make out?
Yes.
Right. But
yeah.
That's only...
Dude.
They killed all the flying birds. That would have been neutralized. In fact, she probably shot the last one.
No, they weren't.
It doesn't matter. Chris Pratt should not be kissing.
No, they were all tranquilized.
Should not be kissing.
She was looking pretty hot.
Why not?
Because wanted to be kissing you. That's is that it?
Oh god.
Okay. I got it.
Stupid moment.
The whole thing about that whole makeout scene just lasted like what 30 seconds.
It doesn't matter. It was stupid.
Okay. Well, these kids were equally stupid, and the whole reason they were introduced was to make a huge character arc for Claire.
Yes.
That the only way she'd embrace life was by realizing there's more outside her job, because she was a real workaholic at the beginning of the movie, meeting with clients and ignoring the kids, like she said.
Doing her job?
Yeah, exactly. But at the end of the day...
She's leaning in, Daniel.
But at the end of the day, I mean, she just never really bonded with him, so that arc was lost.
I don't know. Her other character arc really came in with the animals, because Chris Pratt made this huge point with her when she drives up to his double-wide bungalow combo where he's sipping a Coca-Cola, brought to you by...
I was going
to
say, but how did you know it was a Coca-Cola?
Yeah,
as he turned the logo slightly? Because you drink like you're giving a reach around? Like.
But don't you remember? Nicholas the Indominus Rex, brought to you by Verizon Wireless.
Which was great. So, okay.
Jake Johnson's character in this movie was fantastic.
Jake Johnson
Larry,
is my hero.
Lovely.
For those of you who are film nerdy people, the previous movie that this guy directed was called Safety Not Guaranteed, and Jake Johnson was the star of it. And so he gets to survive this movie and is the comic relief in otherwise a very dry series of movies. In a monster movie, you don't need a villain, and they decide this movie needed a villain. And it was a very stupid villain.
Hold on, we have to talk about
D'Onofrio.
That he didn't randomly get the girl to juxtapose the getting the girl.
Because, to Kelly's point, that makeout scene was a disaster. And it was not necessary. We did not need Chris Pratt to pick up the lady.
And it wasn't a makeout scene.
You not said really. It was a second ago.
It was a kissing scene. It was a romantic scene, and it was pointless. And they already made a point that they'd been on a date.
You're just jealous because Bryce Dallas Howard is
he turned
made from
her down. Clearly, they already insinuated that they did the dirty. Why do you need to make out after all the dinosaurs are neutralized?
Yeah, Matt, that doesn't mean anything.
Orgasm at 11:30.
She was too stuck up to do anything, and now she's not stuck up, which was this whole thing.
Now, Kelly, I don't know much about feminism. But I will say...
Jade told me that wasn't going to come up.
No, but seriously, a point that we were trying to make earlier was that, what...
Fuck you, Daniel.
It technically passes the Bechdel test.
Yep, considering their how their date apparently went really badly, I doubt they got it on.
Look, no, all I was saying was that he had, when he was first talking to her on the steps, he had a list of three things, and he was like, what were they? They were...
They want to eat, they want to hunt, and you got to...
And for those of
which
you who not
and he said, surely you can understand one of those.
I think he meant eating.
I think he meant hunting.
No, because obviously she has
a cougar,
she,
so she hunts.
Well, she couldn't. She didn't eat anything. She only does anything
that.
With. No, he said that her diet was fucking weird, and she only does her job.
He said her diet didn't include tequila.
But before
that's
we
really
guys,
weird.
Guys, guys, guys.
But before
it is
we
weird.
We
got,
digress.
Before we got off on this tangent, the point of this was that another of Claire's character arcs, not just involved with the children, had to actually do with the animals on the island, because when she does roll up to the bungalow and then we got distracted, so no more date talk about Chris Pratt and her.
The sex
what?
Below?
No. when she got to the bungalow, he said to her, or asked her, he said, "You do know these animals are alive, right?" And she goes, "I'm fully aware of that," because she's the Mr. Spock of this Isla Nublar, whatever it is. And people are calling it Isla, so I feel way ahead of the game.
I thought you were describing, like, you know, when you have like a French name for a kind of novel, like a nouvelle roman. I was what's one of those?
It's a Puerto Rican island, so
it's an erotic
Isla.
Novel.
Costa Rican.
No, but one of her biggest character arcs, forget the kids, is the fact that it has to do with the animals, because she, like Chris Pratt says, she treats them like numbers on a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
And then when they see the brontosaur dead in the field, she actually gets out of the Jeep, despite the fact that Chris Pratt told her to stay in the car. She gets out. There was a really sad scene where he saw that the Indominus Rex, and this was a huge point in the movie, he noted that the Brontosaurus and several other Brontosaurus were not just eaten, they were just killed.
Which is something that happens in...
Claire kneels down and actually wants to physically touch the dinosaur. And that happened in the first movie, which was kind of a throwback.
She cried.
To the Triceratops. She cried. And that was when she first started becoming a human for me.
I agree.
Now, that did absolutely nothing for me. I thought the character development in this movie was so forced and heavy-handed that it was
I'm with Matt completely.
Not effective at all.
Man.
I
thought she did a fairly good job of actually, like, doing things in the movie, you know.
Running
like
in high heels.
She did not twist an ankle, and I am very proud
of her.
Have
you ever run in high heels?
That shit's hard.
That's the thing she did the best in this movie.
We do have to talk about her wardrobes character arc, too.
The actual headliner of the movie, Claire's heels.
Well, but she did, and she did shoot off Claire's, what was your dinosaur map?
Steve from accounting.
It's called a pterosaur. That way, it's
okay,
generic.
So she shot the pterosaur that was attacking Chris Pratt, and then they had their kissy face.
Yeah, she shot it like five times. She just went
but
crazy.
But she did more than Buttercup did in The Princess Bride. Let's be
guys.
Real.
And she brought in more teeth with the T-Rex and the flares. She thought about that.
Yeah.
I do want to make some comparisons here, other than the fact that she turns into the nephew with the mullet at the end, because her hair fluffs out into the mushroom top by the end of the movie.
Why did that happen? Her hair was straight all day long, then suddenly it became very wavy.
She has
you know how that
hair.
Kid was through a lot?
It's
he
Costa
had a little
Rica.
Scar on his chin, which is what all kids get, that little scar.
But it got attracted curly, though, with Claire. Did you notice that? It was obviously, like, very seriously.
It's Costa Rica. It's humid. She's running around. She's diving in lakes or something.
My hair doesn't get wavy. We live in Georgia. It's humid.
I have an afro in about 100% humidity.
Go outside. Donkey.
Ladies. So something we should talk about a little bit is... in the build-up to this movie, they talked about how they were ignoring the second and third Jurassic Parks to make this a sequel.
Thank you.
I think this does a good job of making it a sequel. Mm-hmm. They reference a lot of the first movie. In fact, they end up on the set of the first movie.
They reference too much of the first movie for me.
I like it because of Jake Johnson's character who pokes fun at it. He like buys the shirt off eBay. That's the first one because, you know, people died. He goes, it could happen. Wink. You know, he has dinosaur models on his desk. He realigns logos to make sure you realize this is Jurassic World Coca-Cola.
Well, I just remember the one bit in there where Claire is describing his desk is what, chaotic or something?
Yeah, she...
Whoa. Okay, that was my favorite part, was the chaos theory scene that we had when they went to find the tracker, and the blood dropped on his wrist, and it went one way. Then the blood dropped again and went on the other way. I really like that little tidbit there, the little throwback.
I have a hugely legitimate question about the tracker, because, okay, the thing is, the new Indominus Rex, who we haven't even gotten to the Mosasaur, ladies and gentlemen, she was...
amazing.
She was
Calvin and Hobbes come to life.
Picture SeaWorld on steroids.
Oh, man. So, listeners,
Hold on. Because the thing about the tracker with the Indominus Rex, she rips it out of herself like an escaped prisoner.
Which we never see the wound for that.
Right. The thing is, she gets shot up so many times it doesn't matter. The point...
She's Wolverine.
Yes. No, but forget the fact that I'm not even concerned with that. It's the fact that Chris Pratt makes a huge point of saying she set a trap, tricked us, the containment team went to get her, she rips her own tracker out because she remembers where it was. And that's what the containment team finds before all of them get annihilated, every single one, down to the last. And then when they do finally decide to weaponize the raptors, Chris Pratt just has the tracker in the flesh that it was wrapped in. In a nice little scarf.
Where did they get that from?
Exactly my question.
Just fanny pack.
But they were down...
The
dork pack is what it was called.
The kids were down by the river. They picked up one of the helmets. So maybe Gray was the younger one, right? With the hair helmet. Maybe he picked it up and was like, this is awesome. I want dinosaur flesh. Because he's tall.
So
it could happen.
I have two thoughts on this. First... For those of you who remember the 1993-94 cartoon, The Critic, they make fun of this where the raptors just take out a pipe and goes, you know, we could pick any lock we wanted.
Oh.
And that's how the dinosaur gets, like, too smart. It's not animal smart anymore. It's just too smart. Because, like, yes, mooses can actually use their antlers to pick locks in zoos, and it's happened before, and it will happen again, because they're smart. Monkeys pick locks. They pretend to be dead. They trick. Anyway, that happens.
Wait, I'm sorry. Moose can pick locks? Because those things are, like, 17 feet tall.
Dude.
They're not.
It's totally.
They're terrifying.
It happened.
And arthritic and ADD and angry.
They do it. Look it up. It's totally a thing.
It's on the internet. It must be true.
Second, all four people who listen to this podcast who aren't actually on this particular episode, make me a parody trailer that's a sequel to Blackfish starring the Mosasaurus.
Thank you.
Yes.
Where it's just like, SeaWorld has hundreds of whales and one Mosasaurus, and this is how they captured it. And you just see, like, people with tasers.
They stole it from its mother in the wild.
You see an even bigger one going, and then Titanic.
That Mosasaurus kind of led to a bad joke anyway, because they ate a great white shark, which was, you know, Jaws.
Yes. We're that much bigger than Jaws. Also, the T-Rex and a raptor pushed a Donosaurus.
Indominus Rex.
Madonnasaurus.
They pushed Madonna into the Mosasaurus pit.
Because is that what we're naming the new... Because I can remember that.
Let's just call it Murdersaurus. It's easy.
We're calling it Madonna. And I'm just going to tell you, I was totally on board with this movie. And then all of a sudden, Madonna fell into the water. And the water demon ate her. And I'm like, no, I'm done.
Okay.
Well, luckily the movie was done too, so that works.
A Madonnasaurus.
It was like
just...
they couldn't figure out how to kill it off, so they're like, "Oh, I know. Let's put this part where it eats the British girl and the bird, and then people are reintroduced to it again, and then let's have it eat Madonna."
I liked it.
A Madonnasaurus just makes me think that it hunts its prey by making it vogue.
Isn't that what it did?
Does it have pointy boobs?
That's what Why I not?
Of course it did. Yeah, same thing. Yeah, that's all how it down kills its back.
Prey, Madison. It just stabs them with its breasts.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. I named it. Ladies. It's easier to remember than it.
Looks
Adonis
that can kill.
Whatever or something.
What was up in this movie with Henry Wu showing up again? Because in the first movie, the whole point was that
he needed frogs and cuttlefish and raptors but and the, dinosaurs.
Because
and
the whole point
of
the movie.
Let's be honest. A dinosaur.
Let's be honest. B.D. Wong's gonna take a paycheck wherever he gets it.
Right. Yeah.
Well, no, A, you're absolutely right. B, unfortunately, Richard Attenborough is dead at this point.
Yeah.
Why couldn't Jeff Goldblum be anywhere?
He was. Daniel pointed it out to me. He Daniel, please.
Yes, in the scene where the kids are riding a tram and the British nanny that Claire's hired to look after them,
Zara.
That looks like Kristen Stewart, which depressed me. She's reading Ian Malcolm's book and you can see his face on the back cover.
Well, and Jake Johnson's co-worker also has one.
Yeah. There you go. Well, I mean, and I just, he would have been great in this. Also, Mr. DNA should have actually spoken as opposed to just appear on the screen.
He did speak.
But we couldn't hear him because people were talking over him, just like this podcast.
Do you think Ian Malcolm would ever come back to that island ever again?
If they kidnapped his girlfriend again, maybe.
Maybe if his black daughter showed up somewhere.
Shot fired.
Glitter.
No, because they couldn't acknowledge the second movie. That's the problem. No, and I'm not.
No,
you're right. That's the problem.
You're 100% correct.
But the problem was with this, it works as a sequel, and I know Jeremy is going to punch me for this because he has dignity. They make reference to this movie so much, it feels like a sequel where the other ones didn't.
Well, see, the thing with this one, the whole time I'm watching it, is like, this is the living embodiment of, if you don't study history, you're doomed to repeat it. It's the first one over again, just on a grander scale.
Well, and they in the second movie, which we did listen to 2 weeks ago, because we suffered for you people. I'm like an American hero, but I'm Belgian.
That was the third
one. But he's not too.
No, I was thinking of the second one Malcolm looks over and he goes, you do realize now you're Richard Hammond, right? She turns into Richard Hammond, but then they immediately... This is what I didn't like.
You mean John Hammond?
Yes, sorry. Richard Hammond's on Top Gear, which is a better show.
Much better, thank you.
The
Love
animated
you,
Jurassic
Love you.
Park was terrifying.
On an unrelated note...
But then I'm going back to my
point. As far as being terrifying, it's sort of in the same boat. And speaking of boats, people were able to kayak down a river with brachiosaur and triceratops and stegosaur just within biting range. I know they're herbivores. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, they're essentially nonviolent animals, but we saw in this movie how a herbivore defended itself against this unknown dinosaur and just fought to the end of its life.
Well, no, Jade, I hate to interrupt, but Kelly's about to crap herself.
A pachyosaur would have done the same thing,
down
too.
The kayaking down the river is a nod to the Universal Studios ride where you get in a boat and you go down the river, which is where I got this t-shirt, and I thought it was amazing, and it made me really super happy, and I'm sorry if you guys haven't been to Universal and you haven't been on the boat ride, but I had to take my leg off, and the guy was super, didn't know what to do, and it was amazing because they trained it for him, and he got really happy, and he was like, they trained us for this, and I don't know what to do.
For those of you who don't know, Kelly is actually an amputee, and that's why she said she took her leg off. It's legit.
No. A dinosaur took her leg off, let's be honest. That's how she lost it, folks. She went to Jurassic Park.
That's why we're on both.
I did tell a kid that once. I also told him I fought with the Transformers. It was fantastic. Anyway, not the point. But no, the kayak ride is totally not to the ride at Universal Studios, and
it's also in the first book.
Is this the one in Islands of Adventure?
Yes. And
that was
and
awesome
it was terrifying
ride.
The first time I did it. That's true. The second time, the T-Rex part was broken. So we went underneath and you just see this like face. And you could see it from around the corner. We're just like, huh, that's there. And
did they take the picture?
Also, in response to Kelly, that's why our podcast is both on Reddit @podcast and /amputeeporn.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
But the T-Rex did make a new appearance this time because
I should.
The T-Rex just totally got her due justice this time because in the first movie, it was about the T-Rex. The second time, it was about the raptors. Third time, it was about the Spinosaurus random thing that showed up.
Garbage.
And then the fourth movie was beautiful because the T-Rex just came back and got her revenge and just put the new dinosaur in its place. But then Mosasaur came along and bye, Felicia.
Well, if I may,
it's interesting because it's a, when we're looking at movies at the end, you have to say what the message is. This is kind of a God versus man, I guess. And at the end, the more original creation works.
There was no message to this movie, and that was my big problem with it. I mean, the first movie has a definite message. This one was just kind of, if it had a message, it was repeating what the first one did. And it's like, so what?
I think they wanted to keep it sterile enough and not too forcing something on you. I mean, there was very little that actually got resolved with this movie. And I don't think they were trying to go for a message. I think they were just saying, here's some cool dinosaurs.
So, well, they do have the whole thing about focus groups and the idea that people are getting bored, let's come up with something new.
Yeah.
I mean, that actually makes a lot more sense in their first movie, which is basically Malcolm being a pantheist and saying it's going to go wrong because it's unnatural, and that, lo and behold, the universe conspires to vindicate him.
Well, and if I may, I think the first one, which I think of the four, at this point we've seen them all, the first one is the one that will be a masterpiece that will last and last and last. I think the third one is the worst one we've done so far. But what worked about this first one that didn't work, guys, I mean, I get it. Breasts, hot, you know, we get it. This is all being edited out.
What did I miss? Continue your original point.
It's long gone. The original movie, when it came out in the 90s and the book was written in the late 80s, the whole thing about it was, the idea of genes. If we understand the building blocks of life, does that make us gods, right? Can we control life? Can we fix what God hath wrought, right? Can we undo the things that were extinct for a reason, for novelty?
Just because you can't make it doesn't mean you shouldn't make it.
Exactly. And that's what Ian Malcolm is saying. You know, like, we can't imagine the variables that killed this creature. Okay. This movie is interesting because they've updated that message. This one's about GMOs. Right? We have taken that which existed and modified it for our own means.
So Jurassic World is really a screed against Monsanto?
It is. But the thing is, the problem with movies like this, it's like the kindergarten version of morality. There's no gray area. It's all black and white.
But this movie was almost a perfect answer to that, because in the beginning of the movie, Claire said that, yeah, people are about as stunned by a triceratops as they are by an elephant in a zoo in the middle of a city.
She said, thanks, 4chan.
No, but the
she says Stegosaurus, just by the way.
Either way, I'm sorry. Lady. Anyway.
Just saying.
The point is that bored by herbivores, yeah, but to Nick's point is that, yeah, the T-Rex stopped stunning us past the first movie, so that's why they moved on to velociraptors, then they moved on to Spinosaur. They started having to invent dinosaurs to impress the public that was coming to see these movies, so it was almost a cheeky way of saying, oh, so we've got this new thing stewing in the lab.
And I think they were really making a point of poking fun of people watching all of the Jurassic Park movies. They weren't, and I think that's great, but I will go ahead and say that I was super excited to see the T-Rex at the end of the movie.
I've actually got
I wish there was more of it.
Me too.
I've got two questions for everyone about that. First, I think Jade's more correct than the Monsanto screed right there.
I was so close to being important.
Jader for the win.
That's right. But my two questions are, first, the first film was really built by its special effects. That was revolutionary at the time. I thought the first film's effects still stood up more than this one's.
Oh, thank you. I agree. Dying for some practical effects in this movie.
That was going to be my question.
A 50-foot dinosaur, and they're 20 feet away from the tail that clearly should have hit them in the face, and they were still able to die. They had to adopt the effects to where they were, and that just don't.
Well, and Bryce Debbie Does Dallas was not aware of the T-Rex versus Abomasaurus.
No, but seriously, they made a special effort toward this. I know it wasn't nearly to the effect of the first movie, but especially when the raptors had their faces in the cages, when the handlers can actually pet them and touch them without them getting bitten, those were actually
puppeted dinosaurs like I was talking about in Jurassic Park 3. I was like, that
with CGI enhancements, those were not completely
practical. No, absolutely CGI enhancements, but the thing is the actors still had something to react to while they were acting.
Here's my problem. Why they looked the best. Hold on. Here's my problem. In Jurassic Park, the original, there were more practical effects than there were CGI. In this one, it was the reverse. I feel like there was 90% CGI and 10% practical, and I really just wanted some more practical effects.
I was never once afraid of that new dinosaur that they created.
No, not at all.
Well, and other than the fact that there was no poop scene in this movie.
No one
Thank
pooped.
God.
Everybody poops.
But no one pooped. Also, please, Daniel, I think you're old enough to not be afraid of dinosaurs in movies.
Well, no, but
I got a little bit stressed out, I'm not going to lie.
The first Jurassic Park still creeps me out.
Yes.
That's an amazing scene.
Well, and if I may, I was listening to like some Inside Baseball in that first movie. When like the big T-Rex comes down on top of the plexiglass, it wasn't supposed to break.
No, that was real. That
and
really
the kids,
happened.
Yeah, and that when it broke, reaction. The kids actually freaked out. Like, that gives it reality. And that's why I think that one scene that affected me that I think worked the best is when Bryce Dallas Howard touches the brachiosaur. Actually, it might be brontosaur. Because that clearly was something she was touching that was moving. Like, you know, I don't know if they broke into Steven Spielberg's backyard and actually stole a real dinosaur from the first one, but that moved and it responded. And, you know, Chris Pratt touched it and, you know, he cried a little. And I mean, Ted 2 was the first preview. And the idea that, you know what I mean? Like,
Ted 2 is going to be terrible.
Ted 2 is going to be really terrible. Bad. You know, if I may, Seth MacFarlane, give me money to insult you.
If we're going to be talking about how they somehow magically didn't get whacked in the face by a tail, we have to talk about how those kids should not have survived by, like...
Thank you!
Oh, my God.
I at least was expecting some vomit when they were being
Can we not talk about the children? Because there's really nothing to say about them.
They're the worst children
The dinosaur
ever.
Was so smart. It should have eaten them, like, 8 times.
Yeah.
My second question, if I can go ahead and jump into that. We haven't mentioned the fact that Vincent D'Onofrio is in this movie as, like, the engine chairman who wanted to weaponize these raptors. What the hell was the point of him?
Oh, my God.
He brought up the very poignant story of how he raised a wolf pup, and somehow that's equivalent to... Because the story, spoiler reasons, is that he raised a wolf pup from 2 months old that couldn't walk, and then it slept on his bed and guarded him every night. And then his wife came at him, with a steak knife, and the wolf took a chunk out of her arm. And so one of the raptor handlers asked, "Did you put it down?" And he answered, "No."
No, he said, "I don't know."
He said, "No."
And he didn't say no.
If I may, there's a better story than half of this movie in that one scene.
I agree, because these are animals that can't be contained, and that he's looking at them from a purely, let me make this my awesome German shepherd dog kind of view, and that's not what this is.
I kind of want the scene where Chris Pratt is like spooning with one of the raptors and just like...
You shut your face. Oh my God, you just created a terrible fan fiction. Who the fuck are you? Stop.
No,
it's already happened.
Madison, what were you going to say?
I was saying like a dog. You don't fuck dogs.
Well, I mean, we
read fan fiction.
I try not to because I have dignity.
Read Matt's fan fiction about Lupin and Tonks. So
Nick already has things about dinosaurs, but now it's time to hear what Madison
Lupin
has to say.
Lupin is never in wolf form in any of that.
Madison's going to say what she has to say.
Oh, God, everyone's really interested in what I'm saying.
Ignore everything they were saying and
okay. So Vincent D'Onofrio.
I wanted it to be Jodan Baker.
Whatever. Dude, the autistic guy from Law and Order CSI.
You're that, going with that instead of Full Metal Jacket? What's wrong with you?
He could have been autistic in both.
He could have been. But here's my problem. Oh, sorry. Sorry, listeners.
She has 99 problems, but...
But a glass is one. My biggest issue was that he was like... Everybody's really douchey boss. Like the whole scene where he's like, "You're not busy to turn in your paychecks, are you?"
Yeah, if he was the lawyer time around
and calling him buddy and.
But the thing is, a lawyer has a purpose.
Like, I'm so glad that raptor ate him because that's all I needed in my life was him to get eaten.
Well, but to your point, and your point, and your point, and everyone else, I'm gesturing to. The point of the lawyer was. a worker had died, so Hammond was being sued. Right. And so you needed the lawyer there because he was the lawyer and then people to assess whether it was safe or not. That's what the whole premise of the first one is.
Yes.
D'Onofrio shows up to be an asshole, apparently.
Well, I mean, he had a point, kind of. I mean, his point was so that Injun could swoop in when everything fucked up in the end.
Injun owns the fucking park. It makes no sense.
No, the fellow who apparently thinks he's an expert at flying helicopters owns the park. What was his name? I'm so sorry.
It rhymes with Maserati.
Thank you. I could not pronounce that to save my life. Hang on.
Maserati.
Yeah.
Hang on. But
I thought they were talking about a car, and I got really confused for like 5 seconds.
But the whole park had a really genuine attempt at first when Maserati. You guys are telling me so many different things.
You could just call him Khan.
When the owner of the park,
the Indian dude,
that was not.
He was a good character. See, he was a good character.
He was because he was carrying on the John Hammond dream, and that's a point that he makes in the beginning of the film. He says, "Oh, spare it, no expense." They brought that back.
And yet later in the movie, he says, "We don't want to shoot this dinosaur. We put $26 million into it."
Exactly, right? Because he understands that it's going to be an effective attraction if they can save it. Even John Hammond was that way. It took him a second to decide, Jeremy, that he did not want to shoot his dinosaurs.
Shoot
but then he
her!
Did. That was
it
a different guy.
It didn't take half the movie, though.
But I just wanted to say it.
I do like how he got his own action hero scene, though, where he decided to fly the helicopter, and then it exploded, which was great.
Oh, and he was the last to die, which made it so dramatic, because you're like, is it going to land it before it hits the glass?
Yeah.
And it hits the glass, it's like,
no!
Is the dinosaur going to eat it out of the air?
And
that's
it hits
the ground and it explodes, and it doesn't actually touch any of the dinosaurs, and you're like, that's magical.
I feel like there is very little dramatic tension in that scene, by the way, but continue.
We have
to each his own, good sir.
No, but actually, to both of your points, that's something Spielberg did well in the first one, where you would cut, and then all of a sudden someone would have survived by hiding somewhere, or with the exception of Samuel L. Jackson, where the death actually comes later, and then you realize it at the end.
Also, to your last point on Jurassic 3, Nicholas, you noted how Jurassic 3 remarkably failed at taking comedic note of certain moments where there was an effective pause and just, oh, well, she's digging through a huge pile of you know what, but yeah, he said, thank you, Madison. But for instance, when the pterosaurs broke out from the menagerie, I guess is the best way of explaining it, the dinosaur menagerie,
the birdcage.
The birdcage.
Oh, you mean the hen house, because the fox got into it, right?
Thank you, D'Onofrio. But
well, what does the fox say?
I'm not gonna do that with you.
I almost did it.
No, but
I can't do it.
So you guys made me lose my point so fast, but
you did the same to us. It's okay.
Like Madonna's boobs, there's no point.
Since Jeremy
really
the
80s,
at least since the 90s, there's been no point.
As Jeremy knows, the fox actually says chaos reigns.
Yes.
So we're just about out of
no
time.
Von Trier fans here.
I'm a Von Trier fan.
Oh, I love Lars von Trier. Like, whoa.
Lars von Trier, what's up?
What? That might be the first time he's ever been called out on a podcast.
I love Nymphomaniac because Shia LaBeouf was in it.
I believe
Shia LaBeouf.
Before we do that, can we actually put the ultimate spoiler in this since we are spoiling Shia LaBeouf?
She's a man. I'm done.
No, but seriously, like, it was a wonderful fight scene at the end. Go see this movie, if for no other reason than that. It's beautiful because in the beginning of the Jurassic Park franchise, you get this whole concept of brand new dinosaurs who are genetically cloned and they're brand new to the world. And the only person who brings that to light is... It waits until the fourth movie, really, when Chris Pratt says, yeah, you brought him to life in a tube, but they don't know that.
I think the only correction I'd make is that they're not dinosaurs in the first one. They are dinosaurs!
Yeah.
No, but that's where you come to the most epic fight scene ever, where all of the raptors, unfortunately, get... There are four raptors total. Echo,
Delta.
Charla... Sorry, you said Charla. Delta, and it... I was, Let me
Charlie.
Do it. There's Charlie. Echo, there's Delta, there's Charlie, and there's Blue.
You're my boy!
Yeah, that's how that
is. Why did he not follow the correct... I mean, it would be Bravo. Why did he...
Quite.
Did we get any Blue?
Because he's Chris Pratt.
Because he had Blue Stripes.
Blue Stripes.
Okay. Got it.
And he was Navy.
Anyway, the point is that go see this movie.
But Navy's the boys in blue.
Oh, yeah, okay, I got you. Good.
I don't know. We need to wrap up. I'll do this in my final thoughts. I love you guys.
Yeah, we should go around the horn here. Jeremy is just glazing at me. He just
Don't let him talk.
We'll get to him. We'll get to him. Mr. Quinn, what do you got? Final words.
Oh. It was a pretty entertaining movie. Jurassic Park and Lost World were better, but it's still not a bad movie.
I can't talk if you take the mic away from me. You smell very good from this distance.
As he leans away.
You know you should change your shirt. They'll be able to tell. I'm sorry. Daniel, what do you got?
All right. It's better than the two previous sequels, The Lost World and Jurassic Park 3. But at the same time, it doesn't equal the first one, because the first one had a much better character arc for each of the interesting characters. John Hammond's character arc was better. Alan Grant's character arc was better. We cared about what happened to them when they were attacked by dinosaurs. There was some actual dramatic tension there. I just didn't feel that with this one. I mean, mostly the tension was brought about by these kids I didn't care about. And that third act was just essentially an excuse for a kaiju fight. I don't know.
You're right.
By all means, it is entertaining, and it's got some good ideas, and I think that the premise of showing it as a functional park was great, but it just wasn't as good as the first one.
Thank you. Jade?
Well, going back, unfortunately, to my Jurassic Park 3 comment, it's the fact that, obviously, nothing's going to be as good as the first Jurassic Park. That movie just blew minds across the nation. It changed lives forever. But the thing was, with this movie, unlike Lost World and Jurassic Park 3, this movie knew exactly what it was. It was a monster slash beast movie. People knew they were going to be chased. It did the delightful thing of making fun of itself, and that was great. It even did a throwback Thursday to so many moments from Jurassic Park 1, to the torch being thrown to lead the T-Rex, to the Indominus Rex, to the raptors being super duper smart. Just everything that we remember from the first movie got repeated in this movie, and people got chased and Chris Pratt saved the day, and it was all because of his Pratt Pack.
I was gonna let that one sit for a second. The first one of the trailers before this movie was Minions, and there's a mic drop in that. I'm glad that Jade got a mic drop. Jeremy, what do you got for me?
Something I probably should have mentioned earlier, but this movie technically could have been 20 minutes long, because had Chris Pratt waited 2 damn minutes for Jake Johnson to let them know that the tracker was still on and the animal was still in the pen, they wouldn't have gone down there, they wouldn't have opened the gate, and there would have been no movie. Whereas in the first one, there was a point to the animals being let out because Nedry cut the power to make his escape. So, yeah, this movie probably didn't need to happen. Just watch the first one. The effects are better. The plot's better. The scares are better. Everything. This is just a poor rehash of the first one.
Thank you. Madison?
I have to disagree with Jeremy. Sorry.
Whoa.
Love you. I, as somebody that loved Jurassic Park and still do, it still gives me chills. It still scares me to this day. This movie was fantastic. Lost World and Jurassic Park 3 are just abominations that, as I said before, I will throw away. But
can I have them?
You can have them. You can use them as target practice, I guess. But regardless, this movie held up for me. I felt that it was just a fantastic sequel. There was too much CGI. I wish there was more practical effects in it. But other than that, I liked it. I really did. I can't say that I won't buy it, because I certainly will. I'm going to get like the collector's edition with the fighting dinosaur action figures that they have, because I want those as bookends somewhere in my house.
What a thing! Do they have those?
Yes. It's a real thing. It's the Indominus Rex fighting the Tyrannosaurus Rex, and I want that so bad.
Thank you, Madison. When I was younger, and some of you might remember this, there was a video game called Rampage World Tour.
Yes.
And that end scene reminded me of that, where they were just tearing into each other. Also, you guys can't see around the table, but a few of us decided to wear Jurassic Park shirts, including my producer and Kelly. But across Madison, you have, you didn't say the magic world, which unfortunately for me is something that's missing, which we'll get to, but... I just wanted to point that out, since you guys can't wait. Can you see her? Can you? Oh my.
Is there a camera here?
You can't see the camouflaging, thermal dodging, and Indominus.
You have to pay extra to watch your stroke like that again. So mad.
Don't get me wrong. I really enjoyed this movie. I thought it was a nice film. It was a very enjoyable film. But it's... I don't think I would call it a film. I would call it a movie. I really
semantics.
I can go into that more, but I think that's really all I gotta say. So.
Really?
It's not gonna win any awards, but I mean,
the first movie did so many things so well. This movie had some very entertaining scenes, but it doesn't create the same picture that the first movie created. Nothing is going to.
It's fair. I
loved the movie. I thought it was great.
It was an interesting comment. I was just like, huh. Abby.
Well, constant listener, we finally reached the end of all of this Jurassic Park. We suffered through three for you just for this movie.
Oh, hold on now.
And I clearly do not have all of the nostalgia that everyone else has for one. I mean, it's a good movie. It's a classic. It's great. This movie, I walked in expecting Avatar The Last Airbender the movie, and I walked out having enjoyed all of the time that I spent in the movie theater. That's something I can't say about movies like American Hustle and like other very long movies. And Hustle was amazingly boring.
I watched it on Netflix and I was still bored.
I thought it was great.
So anyway,
we just like mutton chops.
There were some great chops going on there.
Anyway.
And it's not just the fact that Chris Pratt was poured into his leather vest. It was the main female character got to do things. Torches don't work that way, but you know, it wasn't bad. It was enjoyable. I would watch it again. Good enough.
And Kelly.
So I was really skeptical about this movie when we were going to go, because I've heard 100% or negative 100%. So I found my shirt from Universal and I Snapchatted a picture of my shirt to one of my friends, and she sent me a text message. She's like, don't be that guy. Don't wear that shirt.
Don't grow that penis and be that guy.
Don't be that guy. Don't wear the Jurassic Park. Don't wear the Jurassic Park shirt to the new Jurassic Park or the new Jurassic World movie. And I got the vindication of texting her back tonight and being like, you know what? Someone in the movie was wearing a classic Jurassic Park t-shirt with all of his dinosaurs. I am not weird. It's fine, and I actually really, really enjoyed this movie. I know that we kind of ripped some things apart tonight, but overall, I think that it stands up to the first one, and I am one of the lucky ones that have never seen the second and third, so I can say that I have a 100% satisfactory experience with the Jurassic Park franchise. Thank you very much. Go to Universal.
Woo!
Although, don't support Comcast, because apparently they're a Comcast company.
Oh, God.
They sure are.
That sucks. Do you know that?
Oh, God, the world's ending.
About 5 years ago.
Yeah, I don't...
pay attention to stuff. I realized
know this already.
I realized what? It tonight. Spoilers. I live
it
under
says
a rock.
So in the logo when the Universal globe
we
showed
know.
Up.
That's why yeah. we're making fun of Kelly.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. Kelly lives under a rock with the amber mosquitoes.
You know
they pull
the ironic
up
part is
dinosaurs.
That's why Chris Pratt is in this movie. You know that, right?
He's not a rock.
No, because he was on Parks and Rec, which is an NBC show, which is also owned by Comcast.
Can I just say one more thing about Chris you. Pratt?
No.
Oh my God.
You're no, that was it.
You're a married woman.
You just
Kelly.
Want to say.
It's okay. I said.
Dinosaurs.
I actually literally said one more thing about Chris Pratt, so I'm good.
So
it was
my producer
funny.
Is
I need to
yelling
work on my
at
dad
me
jokes.
With her hands, which is funny
you.
Because she's Polish and not Italian. And when people yell with their hands, you think Italians.
And raptor signals.
My final thoughts are: if you're going to see this movie, see it now. Because it works on the big screen. This is your summer blockbuster, people. It's already made more money than God. By the time
it'll work at home,
it had the biggest movie of all time. It made over $500 million
in the opening weekend.
In the opening weekend, which is the biggest opening ever, adjusted for inflation.
Ever, and the most amazing meme ever has Avengers: : Age of Ultron opening, biggest opening weekend ever, and then Jurassic World, Chris Pratt going, oh really? And then Han and Chewie going, whatever fools, y'all are just the opening act.
I don't
watch it bomb.
I don't think Star Wars is going to open this big. I could be wrong.
No, oh, it will.
It doesn't
pay
have the same universal
gang.
Appeal.
This is Nick.
I don't think it's opening.
What
prediction?
I don't think it's opening on as many screens. Hmm. Is it opening the thing
that's
Jurassic Park
open
on
every
do people
screen?
In China like
no,
Jurassic
because
like
Jurassic
Wars.
World opened you, all across the world at first. I don't think Star Wars is opening worldwide at the same day.
It should be.
Is it?
Yeah, because China was like $100 million of Jurassic what? Park.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Okay, well, before we go into this, because we need to check these numbers, and spoiler alert, we might do a Star Wars movie before Star Wars opens. We'll see. We have some requests.
Can we
coming
do episode
in.
One?
No.
No. No. I was hoping for Ewok Adventure with Wilford Brimley.
Christmas special.
Yeah, and our producer said
there's not enough alcohol in the world for Christmas special.
Our producer said it's time to shut the fuck up.
I have to give my final thoughts.
We'll do it then.
If I may, you see this movie now because I think it'll work on the big screen despite what Darth said, if only because computer animation, computer graphics don't will look good small. They just don't. And this is a summer movie in that way that you want to see things on the big screen with people who cheer and cry. And, you know, not to point her out, but... I didn't say cry, but you cheered several times throughout the movie.
Oh, no, Jonathan clapped. Thank you very much. That was my husband, not me.
Well, then he has good taste. You did a good job. Mr. Copsey did a good job. But... I like this movie on the big screen. It's the same way you should have seen things like Inception, which, again, I don't think hold up in the long run, but are cool to see on that big of a screen. That's why they work. In the long run, will I get this movie? Yeah, because I own so many things with dinosaurs, and that freaked me out in the end. You can read my review on Dude Letter, but we're still jazzed from watching this movie together. So... I don't know what the gesture my producer is making means, but it probably means...
What she's saying is Eva should totally watch New Girl, because the guy with the classic Jurassic Park shirt is on New Girl, and his name is Nick on New Girl, and he's fantastic. He's also in a movie called Beer Buddies with Olivia Wilde, and if you've missed it...
Drinking Buddies.
That's what I said. What did I say?
Beer Buddies.
Same thing.
Also, you should see the movie Safety Not Guaranteed, which is with the same director and Jake Johnson as the star, and not Zooey Deschanel, the other one. Aubrey Plaza.
Yes. The other one...
I turned the microphone off.
And it's also Mark Duplass, who I think makes great films with his brother. The Duplasses make great movies. However, we are unfortunately out of time, so before the women on the panel hit me with something blunt, please tune in next week when we put another little bit of your past on trial, and it's a movie from 10 years ago where no one who's seen it recently will hit me. Thank you.
Myopia Movies is produced by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Settis. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Settis. Mission Briefing is hosted by John Copsey.
Podcasts are edited by Daniel Sedis, and Patreon is edited by Nick Hoffman. Our engineer is Nick Hoffman. The theme song is Sir Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod from Incomtech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.